So I'm sure this late point in the year, you guys have grown tremendously since the beginning of the year. You've gained in so many different areas. And I'm also sure that the main focus of your Rabbeim for the rest of the year is talking to you about how to make sure to hold on to those gains and make sure that you don't lose everything the moment you go back to Chutz Laaretz. For example, making sure you go to Minyan, making sure you set up Chavrutot, making sure you go to an institution where there are shiurim, there's a good environment for you, etc., etc. I'm here to talk about another area in which I hope you've grown, and I'm pretty sure that you have grown, and that is a love for Eretz Yisrael. Now, before I continue, I want to say a word to those who maybe, at this point of the year, still haven't fallen in love with Eretz Yisrael. There's a beautiful mashal that Rav Shmuel Mohalivar, who's one of the great religious Zionist rabbanim back in the 1800s, that he gave when talking about people. It was a common thing that happened in those days that people would come and visit Israel, and then they would go back and slander and badmouth Eretz Yisrael, which of course is just a repeat of the Chet HaMeraglim. That's exactly what the Meraglim did. But he gave such a beautiful mashal to explain what in effect is happening. In a little shtetl in Poland, there was a very wealthy family who lived on one side of town. And they had a young man, who was marriageable age. But as often happens, people who are brought up in great wealth tend to be a little bit on the rude side, a little bit self-centered. And he didn't have the greatest midot, let's put it that way. On the other side of town, in the poorer section, was another family. And they had a daughter. And this daughter was known to be such a tremendous balat midot. She was kind and intelligent and also physically beautiful. She had everything. As they say, all ala milas, right? All the malot. And this guy heard about this girl and he wanted to go out with her. So he sent shadchanim left and right. And every time someone came to her and suggested the shidduch, she said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in going out with this guy. Until finally her father went over to her and said, listen, why not just give it a try? I'm sure he had like dollar signs in his mind. You know, like, come on, you know, get out of this poverty. You can marry into a rich family. I'm not telling you have to marry the guy, but is it going to hurt to just go out with him once? Go out with him once. So being the good girl that she was, she couldn't turn down her father. So she said, okay, I'll give it a try. And the minhag in those days was to go out on the first date. The guy would come over to the girl's house on Shabbos after davening and just meet the girl, meet the family. So the next Shabbos, the guy comes over to their house. The father and the mother greet him, show him into the house. And a few minutes later, out of her room comes the girl. And she looks absolutely horrible. She's totally clashing. She's wearing different colored socks. And she comes out and starts saying stupid things and acting really weird and really strange. And after 5-10 minutes, the guy quickly makes an excuse. I have to get back home. They're waiting for me to eat dinner, to eat lunch, Shabbos lunch, you know, the cholent. So I really got to go. Thank you so much. Have a good Shabbos. And he runs out of there like, can't imagine. And every person he meets on the way, he says, you know that girl that everyone talks so highly about, that she's so beautiful and so nice? Oh, it's all a lie. It's totally not true. She's ugly. She's stupid. She's everything bad. Said Rav Shmuel, Mo'alivar, what actually happened here? This girl did not want to go out with this guy, and she knew that he's not for him, he doesn't have the proper midot. But she was just doing it for her father. And she didn't want him to fall in love with her. So she put on an act, and she made herself look ugly, and made herself look stupid, so that he wouldn't fall in love with her. Says Rav Shmuel Mo'alivar, it's the same thing with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is perfect. It's the perfect match for Am Yisrael. She is our bride. But sometimes there are Jews who are just not up to par. To live in Eretz Yisrael, you really have to be on a level. And I mean, we saw that just 2 weeks ago in the Parsha, right? The Eretz Yisrael spits out those who do not act properly here. She's very sensitive. So when someone comes who's not really fitting for Eretz Yisrael, fitting for her, she puts on her bad side. She makes that person not want to live here. Therefore, when a person has feelings perhaps of, I don't think it's so great here, I don't think it's so special, why should I want to live here? He has to understand that it's not a flaw in Eretz Yisrael. It's a flaw in him. He has to do some serious retrospection and say, why is it that I'm not falling in love with this land that I'm supposed to fall in love with? Obviously, I have to improve myself. And therefore, what I said before, I am sure that there's another area you've all gained in, and that is the area of Eretz Yisrael, the love of Eretz Yisrael. And hopefully, you all fell in love with her, and you're all on the level, and Eretz Yisrael showed you her beautiful side. But just in case she didn't understand that, we have something to work on. So getting back to what we were saying, I'm here to talk to you about how to make sure to hold on to those feelings and eventually come back and make this your homeland. But unlike the other areas that I talked about, Musar and Davening and learning, you can't take Eretz Yisrael with you. You can take a Gemara with you, you can learn Torah there also, but you can't take Eretz Yisrael with you. And I remember 35 years ago when I left Eretz Yisrael for my first year actually in this building, okay, this is where I went to yeshiva for my first year. Not Torah Chagah. Yes, no, not 35 years old. I remember I was tremendously in love with Eretz Yisrael. That became the focus of my life, that this is where I was going to live. And I went back to America, and I searched high and low for something to read, something to inspire me. And my Hebrew wasn't good enough, so I just searched, and all I could find was one or two articles on the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael, which gave me inspiration, and I read them over and over again. And I said to myself that there's something wrong here. Now, there's English translations of everything. There are English books on every topic, but there are no English books on love for Eretz Yisrael and the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. So I made sure that when I came back to remedy that situation and make sure that there are enough books out there to inspire. And by the way, these books, which I'm going to talk about, are hardly for sale in the stores, if at all. I mainly print them and sell them when I go around to different yeshivot and seminaries, selling them because I wrote them for you guys, for people your age, so that you, after your year in Israel, when you understand what Eretz Yisrael is, to make sure to hold on to that, to those feelings. So I want to introduce my books, but by way of talking about why it's so important to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the way I see it is that there's three basic areas, three basic reasons why a Jew should want to live in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, the spiritual advantages, the spiritual qualities of Eretz Yisrael. And it's what it does for you as a Jew. How it makes you so much of a better Jew. I wrote a book called Eretz Yisrael and the Parsha. Okay? I saw several Achronim talk about the fact that Eretz Yisrael is mentioned in every single Parsha. So I wrote an article for an Aliyah website 2 years running, trying to find Be'emet where Eretz Yisrael is mentioned in every Parsha, and they're correct, it is in every Parsha. I'll give you just one example. There's a story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I'm sure you've heard of him, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, one of the biggest poskim of a previous generation. So there was this American guy, Talmud Chacham, who had gone through the sugya of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And he decided that he really wants some clarification on certain issues, and he wants to talk to a gadol. So he flew to Israel, went straight to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's house, and he sat in his living room, and he started going through the sugya. He said, yeah, there's the Gemara here, and then there's the sheet of the Rambam, and the Ramban, and the Megillat Esther, and all. Keeps on going. And at some point, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, in very low, in Yiddish, he said, it's not important. The guy didn't understand what he was saying, so he just kept on going. Okay, and then there's this shita, there's this tshuva, and that tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? All the different tshuvas. And again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, it's not important. So the guy didn't know what to do. He said, what do you mean, Rebbe? What do you mean it's not important? He said, it's not important whether it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, whether you say it's a chiyuv or a kiyuv, whether you say it's a doraisa or whether you say it's a derabanan. Eretz Yisrael is in every single parsha in the Chumash. Just read the Chumash, and you'll understand that that's what God wants from us. Whether it falls in the category of a doraisa, derabanan, chiyuv, kiyuv, etc., makes no difference. We know this is what God wants of us. Just read the Chumash. You know, there's a story, Rabbi Gold, Rabbi Shalom Gold, if you know him from Har Nof, tells a story about a convert, two converts married to each other, living in his community, and how one day they told him that they were making aliyah. And Rabbi Gold, who always wanted to make aliyah, he eventually did. Right? He said, "Why are you making aliyah? What made you come to this conclusion?" He said, "Rabbi, we've been learning the parsha every single weekend. It's just glaring. It just comes out at us. It's every single parsha." And converts don't have the sophistication that Jews who were born religious, who know how to get out of things, use their thumbs a lot, svaras, why it's not, no, it's not a chiyuv, there's the Rambam, doesn't say, doesn't count it, They don't know this stuff. All they know is God wants us to live in Israel. So that's where we're going to go. Simple as that. Halavai, we should all have such a pashut emunah b'Hashem as these converts did. So, another thing, another way to know how important and how special Eretz Yisrael is, from a hashkafic perspective, is firsts. The way you start something says a lot about it and really sets the tone. There are so many times in the Chumash that the first something is about Eretz Yisrael. Of course, there's the first Rashi on the Chumash. The first Rashi on the Chumash, which is really basically the beginning of the Chumash. The Chumash starts with Briyas HaOlam. And Rashi says, why did we start with this? The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is a halacha book. Why not start with Parshat Bo? HaChodesh is Elachem. And what's Rashi's answer? All of Sefer Bereishit is there to tell us Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is ours. So we shouldn't think, we shouldn't listen to the goyim who say you stole it. Right? It's ours. Hashem created the world and He gave Eretz Yisrael to whom He wanted to, and He gave us Eretz Yisrael. The first commandment ever given to a Jew. Who's the first Jew? Avram. What was the first thing recorded in the Chumash that God said to Avram? Lech lecha. Leave this land and go to Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk there. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Avram Avinu can flourish only in Eretz Yisrael. The first time He spoke to Yitzchak and Yaakov also, He said, oh, and by the way, you're going to get this great land that I promised to Avram and Yitzchak, to your forefathers, Avram and Yitzchak. The first time He spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, He said, I see the affliction of the Jewish people. I'm going to take them out of Egypt and bring them to Eretz Zavat Chalav Dvash. Again, all over the place. Time and time again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it clear that this is where we belong. Chazal tell us that our mitzvot are really not the same when we keep them in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, it would require an entire shiur to explain this, but Chazal say basically that the reason we do mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz, d'oraisa, I'm not telling you, it's not a heter. You have to do mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz. But the reason we do it is so that we won't forget how to do it when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. This is in a midrash. This is brought down by all the Rishonim and Achronim. It's all over the place. Ain Torah Ketorah Eretz Yisrael. You guys hopefully know that. You've seen that. There is no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. All these different areas where, which is what we're all about, are greater when we do them in Eretz Yisrael. This is clearly where a Jew can reach his fullest potential. Our tefillot are answered much quicker here in Eretz Yisrael. And as a nation, we can only reach our fullest potential here in Eretz Yisrael. The Abar Benel has a beautiful statement where he says, Shlemut ha'uma Yisraelit I efshar shiyusag ki'im ba'aretz nivcheret. The Jewish people cannot reach their shlemut, their fullest potential, anywhere else but Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, Eretz Yisrael also can't reach its fullest potential without Am Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael. That's this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parsha B'chukotai, talks about all the curses that will happen to the Jewish people if we don't keep the Torah. And there it says, God says, V'hashimoti ani et ha'aretz, I will make the land desolate because of your sins. V'shamamu alea oyveichem ha'yoshvim ba. And your enemies will also find it desolate. And Chazal see in that a silver lining. They say, you know what, that's a good thing. That's because Eretz Yisrael will not give her strength to any other nation. That's a historical fact. For 2,000 years, Eretz Yisrael was desolate until the Jews came back in the early 1900s. Fulfillment of prophecy, clearly. Okay, so that's all one reason why we should live here. Because this is where we can reach our fullest potential, be closest to God, be the best possible Jews we can be. Secondly, some people will say, okay, don't talk to me, Hashkafa, Rabbi. You know, Hashkafa doesn't do anything to me. I want to know Allah. Where does it say in the Shulchan Aruch that you have to live in Eretz Yisrael? It actually does. I mean, it does say in the Shulchan Aruch that it's a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael, right? I think it's Resh Mem Chet in Aruch Chaim, when someone, in terms of when you're allowed to leave to go on a trip, you're not allowed to leave 3 days before Shabbat, but if there's someone going up to Eretz Yisrael, a caravan going to Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to go with them because it's a Devar Mitzvah. But it's a whole long sugya. Again, I'm certainly not going to go through the sugya with you right now. It would take at least an hour and a half to 2 hours just to give you the basics. But let's put it this way. The vast majority of poskim throughout the generations have poskimed that it is a mitzvah de'oraisa to live in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal even say that living in Eretz Yisrael, yeshivat Eretz Yisrael, shkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvot shebat Torah. It's equal to all other mitzvot of the Torah. I think it's the Pata Shulchan who says, how could it possibly be that something that itself is not a mitzvah is equal to all the mitzvot in the Torah? How many times do you think Chazal say that something is equal to all the mitzvot in the Torah? Seven times. That's it. Only seven times. Mitzvot like Shabbat, Talmud Torah, Avodah Zarah, meaning not doing Avodah Zarah, Tzitzit, Brit Milah. We're talking about every one of these things are mitzvot. And Chazal say they're equal to all the others. So Eretz Yisrael is also obviously a mitzvah. That's why it's Shkula k'neged kol mitzvah. That, again, we'd have to explain. What does it mean that a mitzvah is equal to all the rest? It probably means, very quickly, it probably means that these mitzvot lead us, help us do all the other mitzvot. For example, living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all the rest because this is the only place where we can keep all the mitzvot. There are so many mitzvot that there's about a third, I think, a third, at least a third of the mitzvot that cannot be kept in Chutz Laaretz, that we can only keep in Eretz Yisrael. Our Torah is not complete. In fact, the Gemara in Sota, at the end of the first parak, says that Moshe Rabbeinu, we all know Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael, right? So the Gemara asks, why do you want so badly to live in Eretz Yisrael? Do you think you wanted to eat the fruits of the land, to get satiated, you wanted to go to a kosher, burgers bar or whatever, some? He didn't care about those kind of things, so why would he want so badly to go to Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says it's because, he said, there are so many mitzvot that are shaykh in Eretz Yisrael, which I couldn't do until now. So if Moshe Rabbeinu, who reached the highest level that a person can ever reach, he talked to God panim el panim, face to face, he still felt lacking because he couldn't keep so many mitzvot that are not shaykh in Chutz Laaretz. So Isn't it obvious then that we should take the opportunity that we have to come and live in Eretz Yisrael and be able to fulfill all the mitzvot? And especially, as I said before, especially when you consider the fact that even the mitzvot that we can keep in Chutz La'aretz are not the same when we keep them in Eretz Yisrael. There's a beautiful story. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal used to say about his Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, that when Rav Huttner would fly from Chutz La'aretz, from America, to Israel, even if he davened on the plane and put on tefillin on the plane, when he would land, he would put on tefillin once again. And when asked why, he said, until now, I put on Chutz La'aretz tefillin. Now I want to put on Eretz Yisrael tefillin. The Gedolei Yisrael understood how special it is to keep mitzvot and to live in Eretz Yisrael. On this issue of the mitzvah, the halachic imperative to live in Eretz Yisrael, there's an amazing, amazing sefer called Me'afar Kumi. The author of this book, Tzvi Glat, young guy, very young looking guy, and this is not an early picture of him, this is probably one of the last pictures ever taken of him. Tzvi Glat was a 16-year-old kid born and bred in Brooklyn, New York. And at the age of 16, he decided he doesn't want to stay in America anymore. He wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. And he picked up without support from his parents, and he made Aliyah, finished high school here, and eventually made his way to Yeshiva Merkaz Harav, where you guys are going to be next week learning. While he was in Yeshiva Merkaz Harav, he was very diligent. He was sitting and learning and writing, and his friends didn't know exactly what he was doing. He always had books spread out in front of him. But, they left him alone. He was learning. Great. Why not? 37 years and 3 days ago. Parsha Emor, just like it was this past Shabbos. Erev Lag BaOmer, just like it was this past Shabbos. He and a bunch of friends went to Hebron for a Shabbat. And I just found this out that it was a Shabbat Lag BaOmer. It was, to celebrate Lag BaOmer and to be in Hebron for Lag BaOmer. After davening on Friday night in Marat HaMachpelah, they were on their way back to Kiryat Arba, and Arab terrorist Yamach Shamam opened fire on them and killed 6 young men, Tzvi Glat being one of them. If you've ever been to Hebron, there's a building there called Beit HaShisha. It's named after the 6. And this is like really news. If you guys are following anything on social media or the news in general, I think it was literally 2 or 3 or 4 days ago that they had elections in Hebron for the new mayor. Obviously talking about the Arab mayor of the Arab section of Hebron. And do you know who was elected mayor? One of the terrorists who killed those 6 young men. Did you hear about this? Ribono Shel Olam. And he was one of them. And after he was killed, his friends looked through his belongings and looked at his notebooks, and they were astounded that this 21-year-old, he's like 2 or 3 years older than you guys. And he certainly didn't start it then. He started it probably when he was 19. This 21-year-old American kid had written a sefer on the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael that to this day is one of the classics. Me'afar Kumi. Ask anybody who knows. You want to learn the sugya. You want to know whether it's a mitzvah or not to live in Eretz Yisrael. You want to know all the sources. This is the book to go to. The first half talks about hashkafa, why it's so important to live in Eretz Yisrael, why we have to accept this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And then the second half is going through the sugya, whether it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. One more reason why. Okay, so first of all, you can be a better Jew here. Second of all, it's a chiyuv deoraisa according to most poskim. Simple as that. And even, by the way, even Rav Moshe Feinstein, who everybody quotes, even Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Guys, he says it's a mitzvah deoraisa to live in Eretz Yisrael. He just says you don't have to. And I would love to give you the whole shiur on that. But it's very difficult to rely on Rav Moshe on this one. Simply because even Rav Moshe said, put it this way, do you think Rav Moshe Feinstein wore tzitzis? I'm pretty sure he wore tzitzis. In fact, there are pictures of him wearing tzitzis. Wow. I'm sure you're all shocked. He wore tzitzis. Wait a second, it's not a chiyuv. You don't have to wear tzitzis. You don't have, don't wear a four-cornered garment, and you won't have to wear tzitzis. Why did he wear tzitzis? Why do all frum Jews wear tzitzis? Because why not? We have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Let's do it. So the same thing with Eretz Yisrael. Even if you hold like Rav Moshe that it's a mitzvah kiyumit, that you get a mitzvah, but you don't have to do it, well, shouldn't we go out of our way to do a mitzvah? Especially a mitzvah that's equal to all the rest. The only reason Rav Moshe said that maybe you don't have to is because it might be difficult to keep the mitzvah atzuyot ba'aretz, shmita, yovel, etc., etc. Well, let me tell you something. Things have changed since Rav Moshe wrote that tshuva. It is not difficult at all to keep the mitzvah atzuyot ba'aretz. Who here is going to be a farmer? Who here is going to buy a plot of land and start planting on it? All you're going to do is you're going to go into a supermarket and you're going to buy produce. So make sure you buy produce with a badatz on it. And that's it. Finished. So then there's no excuse not to come on Aliyah, even according to Rav Moshe. Because you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah and there's no negative. There's no downside to it. So that's the second reason. And the third reason is because, guys, we are living through very special times. Next week you're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Yerushalayim. Do you understand that if you would take somebody, pick any gadol of the last 500 years, you know, someone lived like a long time ago, 300, 500 years ago, and you would take him, and you would transport him to Israel 2017, and you wouldn't say anything, you wouldn't like, you know, give him any, you know, you wouldn't try to affect his decision. You would just say, here, plopping you down here in the middle of the country, you decide what this is. He would say, what's the question? When I was alive, Eretz Yisrael was completely desolate. There were maybe 100 Jews living here. And now, you're showing me a land that is totally built up, developed, one of the world leaders in everything, and 6.5 million Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. Probably around half, I mean, definitely around half of the Jewish people lived in Eretz Yisrael already. Maybe even more than half. He would say, wow, this is Gula. Obviously, the Gula has come. And then you'd say to him, oh, not so fast. You see, you want to know how this all started? So there was a guy named Herzl. He was totally a shagit. He didn't keep Torah mitzvot v'cholal. And he had this idea that we should come back to Eretz Yisrael. And there was a guy named Ben Gurion who was also a total anti-religious, etc. You start giving him the whole you know, thing. He would say, I don't understand. What does that have to do with whether this is the Gula or not? Maybe you have a question on God. Maybe you could say to God, I don't understand, God, why you did it this way. But how can you deny facts? How can you deny the fact that 6.5 million Jews live here, that the land is built up, that we've won how many wars against our enemies who try to destroy us? I mean, how can you deny it? I'll give you a mashal. I'm going to describe for you an animal. Okay? This animal weighs several tons. It is humongous. It has four legs that are like the size of tree trunks. It has a grayish color skin, very rough skin, and it has a very long nose, and it has small little ears. What did I just describe? An elephant. How could you say it's an elephant? It has small ears. Do elephants have small ears? Elephants have big ears. How could that be an elephant? How can it not be an elephant? Okay, you have a question. Why does it have small ears? So it has a defect. So it was born with a birth defect. But are you going to try to deny that that's an elephant because of a small problem that it has? Of course it's an elephant. Don't worry, you're right. Of course it's an elephant. It's an elephant with a defect. So the Geula, how could you deny facts? Geula means Am Yisrael was in the Galut for thousands of years. And the Nevi'im talked about the fact that that there will be what's called a kibbutz galim. And by the way, Chazal also talked about the fact that the clearest sign of Gula is when Eretz Yisrael starts flourishing again. Wow, lo and behold, have you guys been to Machane Yehuda recently? Is Eretz Yisrael flourishing? Have you been up north in the Galil and see the beautiful fields with all the different vegetables, etc.? All the ingredients are there. All the facts are on the ground. So you have a kasha. You have a problem. The gula also talks about that there's going to be a spiritual gula. You know what? I'm not saying the gula is over. I'm not saying that we're finished, that's it, there's nothing more to look forward to. Of course, we want a spiritual redemption also. But there's the Nevi'im mainly talk about the physical redemption, the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and that has clearly happened. You have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to see it. I'm sorry to say. And therefore, if for no other reason, forget about the first two reasons I gave you. Those were true 500 years ago too. Today, the real reason, or the most compelling reason why a Jew should want to live here is because he wants to be part of the action. You don't want to be a spectator on the side watching when the gula unfolds. Don't you want to be part of it? Don't you want to be part of this colossal event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon the Jewish people slowly and with ups and downs, with problems, with defects, but still, it is clearly the Geula. Rav Ari Kaplan, do you know Rav Ari Kaplan? You read any of his books? I hope you have. Probably have some of them here. He was a tremendous Gaon. He knew mamish everything. He wrote of his 66 books that he wrote in 12 years. Yes. In 12 years of a writing career, he wrote 66 books. I wrote, I think I'm up to number 8, and it took me at least 20 years. So, trust me, that is very impressive to be able to write 66 books in 12 years. One of his books is called The Real Messiah. And in it, he refutes Christian missionaries. And in that book, at the end, he has an actual chapter called The Real Messiah, where he discusses how Mashiach is really going to come. And he gives a possible scenario. And at the end of that chapter, he writes the following. Other generations have expected the Messiah's imminent appearance based on the forced interpretation of one or two prophecies. Whereas we, says Rav Kaplan, whereas we are living through the entire range of Messianic tradition. Rav Ari Kaplan did not wear a kippah serugah. He did not go to Merkaz Harav. He learned in the Mir. He got smicha from some of the greatest gedolim in the Haredi world. And he says, we are living through the entire range of Messianic tradition, often coming to pass before our very eyes with uncanny literalness. If you...
He also had a PhD in physics.
He was brilliant. He was a genius. If you keep your eyes open, you will see almost every headline bringing us one step closer to that goal. That is, in my opinion, one of the most important reasons why we should live here. I just want to quickly, I have another minute, hopefully, around, to quickly introduce two other books which are connected to this third area. That is, number one, A Question of Redemption. Can the modern state of Israel be the beginning of redemption? Questions and answers in Halacha. The author of this book, Big Talmud Chacham, learned in Eretz Chemda, he was getting a lot of questions about religious Zionist philosophy. Things like, can a state that recognizes reform conversion